Hi, hello. Welcome to the Dirty Rabbit Hole podcast. I'm Michael Foreman, author. Yes, hi again. It's Michael Foreman, author, calling to you all the way from the Dirty Rabbit Hole podcast in Western Australia. I'm an author of some dark fiction that contains sexless marriages, but I'm not going to talk about that here on the podcast. If you've been a long-term follower of my podcast, you'll know that I don't go into a great deal of detail, but occasionally I'll drop an excerpt in so that you can get an idea. But today I'm going to be talking about whether we are the cause of our sexless marriage. The reason why I brought this up is that there was a discussion at our workplace during the lunch break, and I heard a group of ladies talking amongst themselves, and I came into the conversation late. They were talking about their marriages and how their relationships had turned sexless, and it was basically the men folk in their life had turned them off sex. And it came down to small things, nothing major, like not taking the rubbish out, not cleaning up after themselves, treating their spouses like maid servants instead of equitable partners. Now, they didn't talk about what went on in the bedroom. They were basically talking about everything that occurred outside the bedroom, and that influenced the bedroom activity itself. Look, it's hard for me to understand where everyone is in their own lives. There was a part of me, for a part of time, that believed that I was doing something wrong, that I wasn't paying enough attention to my wife, that I took her for granted, and I wasn't patient or respectful or something. Many years of counselling, and also many years of breaking the marriage down into its subcomponents, I've come to the determination is that I did everything that I could possibly do. But that doesn't mean that my story fits yours. Have you, or do you think, that you're the cause of your sexless marriage? Have you not paid enough attention to your partner? And when I say attention, I'm talking about good attention, not just looking at them for the sexual component, but actually spending quality time with them, giving them little notes in their lunch boxes, giving them a hug for no particular reason, a little love note here and there, just to let them know that they are indeed desired and respectfully remembered in your day's activities. Could it be that you've taken your partner for granted and now they have turned off you? Is that a possibility? Anything's a possibility. I'm not saying that that's exactly what's happening for your relationship, but is that a possibility in your marriage? Only you know that. Well, maybe you don't know that. Maybe the taking for granted thing has crept into your marriage over the course of 10 or 15, 20 years, and you haven't seen the changes, but your partner has. You probably would recognize it because they in turn take you for granted. Because if you're disrespectful to them, there's a pretty good chance they're going to reflect how they feel about that towards you. I recommend counseling. I've always recommended it. You can go to a counsellor one-on-one, or you can go as a couple. But you can pull these kinds of things apart and find out if this is the problem. In fact, this is a pretty easy problem to resolve, because if neither of you knew each other was taking each other for granted and it was having a negative influence on your marriage, this can change things pretty quickly. And we can stop taking each other for granted. We can move forward and improve our marriage. I'm not going to say it's going to work for you, but you have to take steps to find out if that's the problem. Any open line communication that reveals how someone's feeling might be able to be dealt with in the counselor's room, and then your behavior or the words you use or the plans that you make in the future can be altered and changed. Remember, when you guys met, you were doing everything new. It was the first time, the first kiss, the first date, first meal that you had together, the first time you dressed up. And you're always thinking of things to say and do that you haven't done before. And we get very clever with that. But at some point, It changes. Now, I know that people say, and when you get married, it all changes, but really the changes occur long before that. Marriage is certainly a marker, a milestone in the relationship, but it doesn't normally mean everything just switches off. Usually there's a switching off that occurs sometime before that or sometime well after it. It's not on that particular day. There are many jokes written to support the idea that people change their behavior as a result of the suit and the bridal dress. But in reality, when you get to talking to people, it's usually the length of the relationship, the first time that you met versus where you're at now. Maybe marriage occurred somewhere in amongst all of that. Yes, but it wasn't the triggering force. It was just basically you grew a routine into your life, a seemingly harmless one, but one that eventually rooted itself into the pattern of life where you now take each other for granted. And you don't take out the bins, or you don't put the lid back on the toothpaste, or you leave your clothes on the floor, or the toilet seat is left up instead of down the way she likes it. It could be that you just need to access each other as though you were meeting for the first time. So go to counseling, find out if that is the problem. Ask yourself if you are the cause. It's a good start. And like I said, it's an easy solution because you might be able to change your behavior. You say and do the right things instead of taking each other for granted. You do good things and good things come back to you. Now, I don't know if you're into reading blogs, but I just finished writing a piece about karma and God's will and luck on my website at michaelformanwriting.com. Yes, yes, I hear what you're saying. He threw it in. He said something about his blog. But yes, there are people who believe in God. There are people who believe in karma and luck. The general belief, doesn't matter which culture you come from or even from what century you're talking about, humans have always had this belief that if you do good things to somebody else or do good things for others, then others will do good things for you. That can also apply to our relationships, our interpersonal ones, and also our very private personal ones, like our marriages. If you do good things for them, then good things come back to you. So maybe what you want to do this coming week, or maybe set a time for change somewhere in your calendar, sometime soon, and see if your behaviors towards your spouse are influencing them to the point where they're not interested in participating in sex. Or make a date with a counselor and find out, is there something that you're doing wrong? Invite your spouse to come along to open up those lines of discussion and find out if there's something that's really annoying them, getting on their nerves or pissing them off, that causes them to switch off to you. And if you can stop doing that or change your behavior or change your words or your actions, then you might be able to get access to the things that you need in your relationship. Does that sound logical? I remember going over my own marriage many times, and I said this before earlier on in the podcast. I think I did everything that I could possibly do, and our marriage came to an end. It's been a long time since it came to an end, but I still remember it as though it were yesterday because it was so painful. And from the messages that I get from you guys, it's painful for you too. Some of you have been hurting for a great many years. I'd like to think that you can make a change. If you are the cause, then yes, you can make a change. You need to take a deep breath, look introspectively, and find a way to change your behaviors so that your partner is on your side, that you're not using them as a backstop to everything that you're doing in your life, that you are actually involved. And the two of you are working together to improve your marriage. And it may take a while to repair the damage. It won't happen in one sitting or two sittings. It might take an entire year to break the ice on the matters that are really at hand. If it's taken 10 years to get to where it is now, it's not going to happen in one session. It's not going to happen in two. It'll take whatever. It might take 6 sessions, it might take 12 sessions, it might take 4 years of sessions to rectify the problems. It all depends on how deep the issues go. If it's just a simple behavior problem, because you're not taking out the rubbish, then you can change yourself very quickly, can't you? It can't be that hard to take out the trash. It's not that hard to put the lid back on the toothpaste top. It's not that hard to put the lid down on the toilet seat. You just have to tell yourself to do that and then act upon it. Wouldn't it be wonderful if our sexless marriage just came down to that and that alone? Because that's fixable. Well, that's it for this week's podcast. My website is michaelformanwriting.com. michaelformanwriting.com. I wrote a book called Seethings, which is about a sexless marriage. And it's about my former sexless marriage and all the things that we did to rectify it and all the things that didn't work. You're going to see a lot of yourself and your marriage in bits and pieces of the narrative. The book is titled Seethings, S-E-E-T-H-I-N-G-S, and it's available at smashwords.com. Smashwords.com for free for a limited time. Download it to your phone or to your iPad or to your computer. In fact, any electronic device that you own can read text will be downloadable from smashwords.com. Just look up Michael Forman and the title Seethings. That's it. I hope wherever you are in the world, you're having a really great day or night. Just remember, it can always rain on your parade. See you later.